Hey guys, Lance Erlein here from The Bench. This podcast is brought to you by our friends at Superior Window Company. It's time to replace your single pane windows, and right now our listeners get half off windows. Go to superiorwindowcompany.com/thebench. superiorwindowcompany.com/thebench for 50% off all home windows.
Is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Erlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell, where he'll join us at 9 right here on ESPN 97.5. Okay. More surprising. The most surprising, in order, how would you rank these? LSU going into Alabama and winning the way that they did. Baylor being 9-0. Minnesota being 9-0. I think it's the first time since 1904 they've been 9-0. Or the Rockets holding a team to under 100 points. Which, rank them?
Well, somebody could go cold in a basketball game, so... There was always that, you know, potential.
You're going to break that.
Yeah, this is...
No, you got to do... You don't do it like that. You got to loosen this up. And,
oh, this is not good.
Yeah, then now, yeah, and all the way, and then you lift it up.
I'll do it later.
Yeah.
So anyway, I
Lance
would say...
Lance is breaking the mic again.
Yeah. I still think, believe it or not, the answer probably should be, well, Minnesota and Baylor equally. If you made it Minnesota-Baylor, if you said both of them... But still, LSU going in, and then, you know, this is not – you can't just lose people to the pros year after year after year en masse and withstand it. It seems like you can when you're Alabama, but at some point it's going to catch up with you. And defensively, it's caught up with them on their defensive – in the defensive line and in the secondary. They are not as good, and LSU exploited them really all game. I mean, on paper, LSU is a whatever, a 6-point dog, and you could say Minnesota and Baylor were not even like this is it's a joke. It's easily Minnesota or Baylor. However, if you there was no talk before the season about LSU being in the same class as Alabama. That's pretty shock. This is pretty shocking. Ed Orgeron had a team that outplayed / outcoached Nick Saban. And Tua's ankle and all that. Yeah, Tua's ankle is an issue. It's obvious. There's no question. But, you know, frankly, more
it was a big issue after the game when he was limping around like he needed to be amputated.
More surprising is probably Minnesota's probably the most surprising.
Well, okay, but now.
Because Big 12's.
Well, beating Penn State, an undefeated Penn State team, is really.
Well, but entering the season, you had Michigan, who was considered a factor, Ohio State. Actually, Michigan was considered more of a factor than Penn State.
But they haven't played any of them.
Right, right. No, that's true. That's true. Baylor hasn't played Texas yet either, have they?
Or Oklahoma, yeah. And that's where game day is this week.
Okay. I don't know. I might still go LSU.
Well, see, and you look at the coaches, though, and you see, I mean, I know college basketball, I would say baseball the least, although look at the great college baseball coaches and – You know, they continue to win. The Wayne Grahams, the Augie Garridos, they won wherever they were. Of course, they were at good schools. But there's no bigger impact than a college football coach, I don't think. I mean, a college basketball coach will get players to go there, but it doesn't mean that you're going to win national championships. I mean, look at P.J. Fleck. Look at what Matt Rhule is doing. Look where Saban goes there and does this. I'll tell you what, Joe Brady – can almost write his own check.
Joe Brady's the offensive coach. He's co-coordinator at LSU. For those who don't know, he came over from the Saints. And he's added, like, real elements of offense.
Look at that.
Barry Daniels was saying, well, here's where they run that stack wide receiver form. This is new to LSU. Like, this is new to LSU. It's crazy. But he comes in with a stack formation. And the reason that's a big deal is because you can't press that.
Well,
how can you stop
it on third and three? When the last guy, Justin Jefferson, waits, he turns it into a route route, and it's an out or an in.
And
you can't stop that.
And if you have a patient quarterback like Joe Burrow, so that's going to be a lot of the talk probably is that's really going to be the Joe Burrow saga. to me, became official on Saturday because, you know, you don't – I really hate saying this stuff. I really hate saying this stuff that I'm about to say. But, you know, you do see elements of his game that do remind you of the same way that Montana and Brady without – Brady's got a bigger arm, and actually Brady's arm's gotten better over the years. But Montana didn't have a big arm. Joe Burrow does not have a big arm. He does not even have a plus arm. I would say it's maybe slightly below average by NFL standards. But as long, but if you throw it the anticipation and accuracy and you have the intangibles like poise, which he has poise and toughness in spades, then you have the ability, you know, then your arm, the arm talent doesn't really mean as much anymore. It really drops substantially if you can throw accurately, if you've got poise in the pocket, if you've got, and now you start adding mobility, which Joe Montana, he wasn't immobile, but he did most of his work from the pocket. And then Joe Burrow's the one of the toughest quarterbacks. I mean, this has been a known thing for 2 years. One of the toughest quarterbacks you'll ever see. So he's got all these intangibles, and he did not fluster in the face of Alabama's defense. And even in tough situations where he was had guys right in his face, he just didn't. I mean, he would take a couple of sacks where he could have thrown the ball away, which felt a little keep the completion percentage high type of moves. But
trying to make a play. Why you got to denigrate the kid for trying to make a play?
You're right there by the sideline. Just throw it.
Yeah, he should have done it.
Literally out of bounds.
I remember one time in particular, but I don't know about a couple of times. But, yeah. Taking nothing. You're just trying to denigrate any way you possibly can.
No, he was really impressive. He's really impressive. If you've got poise, so that's a difference. You know what? I'll tell you this. There's not a huge physical difference between Joe Brady and Nathan Peterman. You know what the difference is?
Joe Burrow.
Okay. You know the big difference? Because they both
Joe throw Brady.
Anticipation. They both throw with, not big arms. They rely on accuracy. But Nathan Peterman is a nervous Nelly, and Joe Burrow doesn't get fazed. He doesn't get scared. Nathan Peterman is not about that life when he has to, you know, get faced with people running in, you know, the ability to create for himself either with his feet or with poise. And Joe Burrow can do both. You know, it's the physical stuff. The physical stuff matters, but all of it's irrelevant if you don't have the mental. And Nathan Peterman just showed that he didn't have the mental. But Joe Burrow does have the mental. Now, Tua, I don't think Tua hurt himself from a draft standpoint.
If you were to draft today, knowing what you know, just watching what you've watched, you haven't broken him down.
I still think Tua is ahead of Brady. Burrow. I think the physical, I think teams are going to look at Tua's ability, his twitch. Burrow's a tough runner. He's still not the fastest guy, but he's a decent athlete. He's like Daniel Jones, really. He does have the same kind of athleticism. Daniel Jones can move. He can move. They ran some zone read stuff with him. Like, Daniel Jones can run a little bit. So Joe Burrow has some of that as well. He can work from the pocket, but is better running than you expect. And he has been for both the last 2 years. My guess is still that Tua will go before Joe Burrow. Teams default to the physical over the intangibles.
Yeah, I don't know. And Herbert might go first overall.
Nah. I can already tell you that ain't happening. People aren't buying into him. I would say he hasn't gotten any better off of his sophomore tape. No better. I wouldn't worry about him. I think Burrow has put himself in the mix, and Tua is going to be there. Frankly, none of those guys should be ahead of Chase Young. And now that the Dolphins won't be drafting first because Dell's team continues to ruin them, and the Texans continue to ruin
Congratulations, Dell. Stupid team won again.
Oh, God forbid. You just talked about how important a coach is, but yeah,
the Bengals need
an XFL roster in winning games, but I should be really shook up about that.
Yeah. Well, guess what?
And it's funny considering all the Tua slander you were giving out, and all of a sudden he's the most important player in the draft now.
No, congratulations. You're going to get him probably in the third round.
Yeah.
Because he sucks. Sure
that's not going to happen.
Yeah. You'll probably get him in the third round, and that's where you're going to draft because you keep winning games.
Winning games doesn't knock you out of the first round.
Well, probably should the Dolphins.
By the way,
break up the Dolphins.
Considering you talk about the Texans and even the Steelers winning games, didn't the Raiders draft Josh Jacobs with the Cowboys pick in like the 20s, and how is that working out for the Raiders?
Decent.
Yeah, guess what? He's a running back. Try to throw the ball with him. See how he throws the ball, though.
Well, they have three picks. They can draft the quarterback and a running back and an offensive lineman. They have plenty of options.
Well, guess what? You don't break up the Dolphins. You guys continue to win week after week after week. Continue to win.
I'm fine with it because it means our coach actually knows what he's doing.
Really?
Which is probably more important at this point. Find a coach.
The Dolphins went wire to wire. Well, no, they didn't. The Colts took a lead for a little bit, but that's really made things a lot.
Hey, that's a big win, big loss for the Colts. Yeah,
huge, because now, I mean, that's one that you had circled in red pen, like this is a for sure win, and now it's a loss. So now the Texans are going to face, they're going to face the guy who, now you faced a terrible Bengals team, but I mean, the steam for Lamar Jackson for MVP is going to pick up.
Well, hot and heavy. How about this? It's head to head right here in this one. It's like Burrow versus Tua. It's head to head.
You know, a lot will probably depend on what Russell Wilson goes in and beats San Francisco in San Francisco. He's still going to hang on to the number one spot, I think.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's not like there's nobody else, but this is a head to head matchup between two guys that are thought to be finalists, or at least in the mix. So this is going to be fun. And I don't know how you stop that dude. I really don't. That RPO, that was. He's pitching the ball to RG3. Good Lord. I mean, I love that. I love innovative coaches. Greg Roman's doing a hell of a job.
They do it more
remember
than
when Greg Roman was here?
I remember that.
Yeah.
He was an assistant.
He was, he was.
He wasn't a play caller.
He wasn't the play caller. He was, the quarterback coach.
Yeah, with Kubiak.
Well, he was at first tight ends coach, and they moved him to quarterback coach.
So, did they run it more than once, that little Veer look, or just that one
with the
pitch?
Three of them? No, they had three Heisman Trophy winners in the backfield.
Wait. RG3, who was the other one?
Ingram.
Oh, yeah, Mark Ingram. I was thinking quarterback for some reason. Yeah. No, Mark Ingram faked it. He faked the dive to Mark Ingram. That was just a split back Veer, like Bill Yeoman style. And one of the guys, Mike Wharton, who was an offensive lineman for my dad, I said something on Twitter. He goes, that's 13 option right there. That's all. That's exactly what that was. And I know. And my brother said, oh, they've been doing that anyway out of the gun. No, I know, Mike, but that was really more, that was a true split back. That wasn't the offset look. That was more of a split back look out of the pistol. But that was innovative. They showed it once, and now they just basically put it on there for the Texans to see. All they did was they put something on tape in a blowout win because they wanted the Texans to see it. So now the Texans have to,
okay, what could they do out of this package? Right.
What are we going to have to do if this package shows up? And what are counters that they may run?
So they waste time, and they probably won't run that again.
They probably won't even run it. No. But they showed it to them in a blowout. Why would you show that play? Because you want the other team to prepare for it. That's not going to be a staple of your offense that RG3 is running the ball.
Nope. All right, 713-780-3776. You got any thoughts? You got any questions? You're more than welcome to get in here on ESPN 97.5. Right now, I've got a question. Do you have scheduling issues? Because if you do, Endeavor is here for you. Indeavor. Endeavor.com. Go to the website and see for yourself. If you've got a factory, if you've got a refinery, if you have, the city has scheduling issues with police and fire. And listen, if you do, take all of the guesswork out of it. That's what Endeavor does. Put apps on everybody's phone. Everybody in real time can find out whether or not they can or can't work. There are fatigue issues. There's union issues. There's all kinds of issues with scheduling that you have to have. You have to know who is available, who can and can't work, and that's what Endeavor does. So if you have a big business that needs scheduling, Endeavor for you. Indeavor.com.
For over 1,000 years. Roman conquerors returning from the wars enjoyed the honor of a triumph, a tumultuous parade.
Saluting all the men and women who served our nation.
Sir! Yes, sir!
Happy Veterans Day.
We are citizens of an American nation.
From ESPN.
Sir, yes, sir!
97.5.
Hey guys, Lance Erline here from the bench. This podcast is brought to you by our friends at Superior Window Company. It's time to replace your single pane windows, and right now our listeners get half off windows. Go to superiorwindowcompany.com/thebench. superiorwindowcompany.com/thebench for 50% off all home windows.
This
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Can someone explain to me why Dave Aranda still has a job today?
What?
Man press with single high safety in a two-possession game with 2 minutes left.
That was crazy. You literally gave up a quick strike where all it was required was to keep people.
No, a minute something left, right? A minute 25 he scored with? I think so.
Yeah.
I think it was about a minute. With a minute 25 left, you've got man press and one single high safety.
And you know what a bad game for Stingley. He was really not good. He's a
The one was on the sideline.
One was they were in the middle, and I'll bet you more teams should look to do that where they look over to the sideline for the call
for a defensive
and then the
call.
Defense kind of stands up and rests and looks over, and Alabama quick snapped him, and that's exactly what happened.
Right,
Stingley got beat, but he was getting beat. He was getting beat quite a bit. I was shocked at how wide open guys were for LSU. Almost the whole game. Guys were wide-ass open. When there weren't busts defensively in coverage, they just weren't able to stick with. The secondary for Bama just didn't stick with LSU's receivers. These are some really talented
receivers.
Diggs is
big, but I don't know about his cover skills, and he also missed some tackles. But that was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now, Alabama is still fourth. Do you know the FPI, ESPN's FPI, going to catch some shade this week? Their football power index right now has Ohio State 1, Clemson 2, Alabama 3, and LSU 4.
So it's based just on computers, I would assume.
Yeah. But the computer doesn't know that LSU went to Alabama and won? Someone's got to fill in the computer.
Well, and they beat... And they beat a Texas team that had a monster win this weekend in Texas.
Did what?
Didn't Texas have a monster win?
They had a huge, huge win.
They're back.
They're back. They're back, folks. Well, they've been back, though.
Yeah.
I mean, been back, though.
They swept
They're Kansas. 23rd right
they
now.
They swept an entire state.
They just beat the living snot out of it.
They swept a state.
Well, they won two games by 5 points over Kansas and Kansas State.
Hey, big deal. So the Washington Nationals swept us at home.
You know
in the World Series.
They win the old oaken bucket or whatever you get for beating Kansas and Kansas State. Okay.
No, LSU clearly. I mean, the FPI doesn't.
It'll be interesting to see though how the committee goes about this. How do you figure?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure Alabama is a top four team this year.
But who's
when it's all said?
Would you put Georgia there?
Well, I don't know. So
Oregon?
I know Ohio State will be in. I know Clemson will be in, and I'm not sure Bama's not better than Clemson. But I'm not sure Bama's going to be better than Georgia when it's all said and done. Georgia's as good as their game managing quarterback usually, and their offense has been not the same.
Well, here's how Alabama sneaks in though. Georgia loses to LSU in the SEC championship.
Yeah, Alabama's actually fine. Alabama's got a shot. I think, if anything, the college football committee is going to try to find a way to keep Alabama out, but I'm not sure how now because Penn State losing was a really big deal. Because now Penn State plays Ohio State. They get beat a second time. You can't make any – here was Wisconsin. Illinois gets them. Minnesota gets it. They don't want to put Baylor or Minnesota anywhere near the college football playoffs.
Well, the Baylor will get there if they win out. Baylor's
there. You
think
Baylor will be into the college football playoffs?
Oh, absolutely. You beat Oklahoma, Texas, and then Oklahoma again?
Ahead of Alabama? I don't see that.
Oh, I do. An undefeated Baylor team?
I don't
absolutely.
See an undefeated Baylor team beating. Texas is not going to be considered a big win.
OU will be twice. You have to beat them twice.
Yeah, you beat OU twice, it'll be... I cannot see a world where I've watched plenty of Baylor.
But no. We're saying this is a huge hypothetical.
Yeah.
It's not like Baylor. If Baylor does it though, they're in. If Baylor wins and goes unbeaten.
Del, you're the only one on this show who has a college football podcast. Do you agree with that? I mean, if Bama wins out, which means
what did you
no
say
SEC
on your little podcast
game,
about this?
Do you think Baylor would be in ahead of Bama?
I think yes, they are.
Yeah.
They're 13-0,
yeah,
they're going to get in.
Over a one-loss Bama team.
Yes. Yeah, what has Bama
this
done?
This isn't the first time an undefeated team didn't get in past
Bama. But no. You cannot keep a conference champion undefeated out when Alabama won't even make the SEC championship.
Yes, you can. It's happened before.
Not undefeated.
It doesn't matter. They're not giving Baylor. They're not letting Baylor in. Even if Baylor wins out, they're not going to let Baylor in. They don't have enough.
They don't have enough people. What?
This is a selection. I'm just being real about this. This is a selection committee who will say Baylor, Schmaler. It's not their time. Or they may even say this team should not be playing in the college football playoffs because we know what happened not that long ago.
Well,
they may get that put on them too. Oh, don't act like they wouldn't.
No way. This is a whole different staff. It's a whole.
No, they shouldn't. No, they shouldn't. They absolutely shouldn't. No, they won't.
They won't.
You don't
think
there'll be anybody
sanctimonious? They will not hold out an undefeated team because of Art Briles.
Do you think that'll be a discussion?
No.
Do you, Dell?
No.
And I don't think Baylor is. If they
it shouldn't
do,
be a discussion.
If they have their dream season. They're getting it over Alabama.
I just don't know if we live in that world.
Other
yet.
Than what did you see? But obviously they played LSU. So
I've watched
high competition.
Watch a lot of Baylor.
There's nothing on Alabama's resume that says they should be in.
Baylor. We're basing this on look. Now, if they if they beat Oklahoma twice, that really says something. And I'll need to see how it looks. But what I've seen on tape, as they're not, they would not be able to play.
No one believes Baylor would win their first matchup. But if they go 13-0, they're not being held out.
And you know who else? It's the same with Minnesota with their 40-year-old quarterback. I mean, if they go unbeaten, if they beat Ohio State, they're in. And look, I'll tell you, I watched that whole game. That is a fun. I'll tell you, I would want to play for PJ Fleck. That is probably the number one guy that I would want to play for.
So at first,
you want to talk about a guy with passion, who loves the game, who gets his team. You want to talk about a motivator? PJ Fleck is awesome.
I'll tell you this: it's easy to come away from PJ Fleck thinking this guy's kind of a fraud. You know, like this is a corny, this whole corny thing, and this guy's kind of a goof. And you may think it's kind of Lane Kiffin-ish when you first see it.
It ain't.
But it's not.
He's real.
He's a real dude. I've had this conversation with people before. You get this feeling like, okay, what's this corny stuff, the row the boat thing, and he's got the tie on, and he's always on the sideline with a tie, and he's always like a Tony Robbins inspirational speech. But it's a real thing. He changes cultures. He's done a good job of developing players. He gets them to buy in. You know, Matt Rhule is a different personality, but they're one and the same in terms of they come in and understand how to change culture. And you mentioned Nick Saban in the same breath with those two guys. You know, it bears – there's some people who just understand. I think Chris Peterson does a good job of this. There's some guys who just know what it's supposed to look like, and they can change culture.
I think that Matt Rhule is more analytical. PJ Fleck is more emotional.
Yeah.
I think he gets guys – Matt Rhule
knows what the players – what to look for.
What to look for. And PJ Fleck might too. I mean, they got some good players now. They're wide receivers. You're going to have to watch them.
Yeah.
Their wide receivers are real. They got a couple of really good wide receivers. And watching Baylor against TCU, you're right. They don't pass the eye test for the national championship. There is absolutely no way that team. But if they win out, if they're able to beat Oklahoma and they're able to beat Texas, then they deserve to be there. And they will be there ahead of Alabama. It's 725 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776 if you'd like to get in here.
Oh, and by the way, I want to make sure everyone understands. I am a big fan of what Minnesota and Baylor is doing, and I would love to see them get a legitimate shot. I still believe, though, that there are built-in biases with the selection committee saying, we know what Alabama gives us. We are not going to get embarrassed. Last thing they want is a team to get beat by 30 in the college football playoffs.
And frankly,
Notre Dame to do that.
Notre Dame does that every year, and they still put them in there.
You're pointing to the Bama-Baylor discussion. I think the bigger conversation will be the Pac-12 one-loss champion Baylor.
That's the more realistic conversation.
Right. That is...
Minnesota, I don't think, has
a chance of beating
Ohio State.
If Oregon goes unbeaten the rest of the way... and finishes with one loss, it'll be very interesting to see if they keep that one-loss Pac-12 champ out.
Oregon versus Bama. One loss
Right.
One lot.
Yeah. I think they take Oregon. I think there's Alabama
Pac-12
fatigue.
12 champ in a much softer conference. Although I would argue that SEC is not like this killer. It's a good conference still. Not the same Bama. I would argue it's not the same Georgia we've seen over the last couple of years.
It's not the same Arkansas.
No, Chad Morris was already
actually
fired.
It is the same Arkansas.
Yeah, but even if it's the Baylor-Oregon discussion, I think there will be a bigger debate about that than it would be Alabama-Baylor.
Yes.
Yes. No, Baylor, I think, is – you go unbeaten in a Power 5, you're in. That's it. You're in. But now
– ahead of Oregon and Alabama?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can't go unbeaten.
Man.
And
I
got to
see what it looks like because you know what? I'm just – because if they do, then there's going to be something impressive that they put on tape twice. If you beat Oklahoma twice with that offense, then that's going to be impressive. Those are two impressive wins. So I have to – I have to wait to judge them until after they've impressed me with those wins.
All right. First, we got to talk about – let's talk basketball now, and let's talk about hoops, sporting goals, and equipment. If you're looking for the best way to get those kids – have those kids have some fun because you got little kids and they want to play basketball and you staple a backboard to the garage 10 feet high and it just sits there for years because nobody can reach it. Why would you do that to your kids? Let your kids play on a goal that they can enjoy because you can lower the goal with the hoops goal. And you're gonna and your wife will love it. You'll love it because it actually adds to the value of your home. I'm telling you, this is the premier goal in the world. In the world. When you see a hoops goal, you're like, wow, that's a nice looking goal right there. It's tempered glass backboard, it's unrustable stanchion, it's the breakaway rim, and I don't know why they call it that since it doesn't break. But they can hang on it all day long. You can lower it and raise it, and you will love it. We loved ours, and it still looks like it's brand new. All you got to do is go to ProDunkHoops.com. He's got all of the accessories for it as well, the lights, the stenciling for the court, everything you could possibly need. ProDunkHoops.com.
This is ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
This is an interesting stat. Dream Shake says Lamar against the Bengals and the Dolphins. 8 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. 2 winless teams, 8 touchdowns, 0 interceptions against the rest of the league, 7-5.
Against who?
The Dolphins and Bengals.
Well,
the
Dolphins aren't winless.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Well, they were at well, in the first game they were. Okay, Dolphins have got 2. You're right.
They were at their worst then. Yes.
Yeah. That was a really, really, really poor football team at the time that they played them. 5 touchdowns. And no interceptions against the Dolphins. 3 touchdowns, no interceptions.
That's fine.
7-5 against the rest of the league. Here's the thing, though. He also has run for at Seattle. He ran for 116.
Touchdowns. Right.
Versus the other Cincinnati game, he ran for 152. Against Arizona, he ran for 120. 70 at Pittsburgh.
How many touchdowns did he have rushing?
He's got 6 rushing. And what's he's got record? 15-7-2.
I would argue Deshaun, and he's played softer competition. I would argue Deshaun is, the passing and running combined with Deshaun Watson, some of his wins, I would say Deshaun's ahead of Lamar Jackson. Lamar's got eye-popping plays.
Yeah, Lamar's more spectacular.
But I would argue,
right now, amongst voters, Lamar is ahead of him. Amongst voters, I would say. That more voters would vote for Lamar right now than they would for Deshaun, because he's been spectacular. As far as good wins, they lost at Kansas City, they won at Seattle, they beat New England for New England's only loss. You know, that was a big nationally televised game. I would say Lamar's probably got the vote ahead of Deshaun right now. And he looks he's got the, like you said, eye popping. He's got spectacular plays,
they're Heisman plays.
Heisman. He's got Heisman moment.
He had a Heisman play.
He had a Heisman moment yesterday
with his run. That's what I'm saying. He's an elite running back when he's out of the backfield.
Oh.
That, you know how deadly that is. You pray Mark Ingram gets the ball. When they play, you pray on any zone reads that Lamar Ingram gets the ball. At some point,
Mark,
what did I say?
Lamar Ingram.
Oh, well, I'm just going too fast. My mind's going too fast now. At some point, you're just going to have to hit Lamar Jackson every play.
No.
Anytime that they show a zone read, you're just going to have to hit him as hard as you can to where he's like, I have no interest. That's what they did to Kaepernick. I have no interest in hanging on to this ball. You have to take your shots if you're a defense at hitting him as often as you can. And at some point, somebody is going to get a little frisky on the sideline and take a shot, just hoping to really slow him down. But the zone read stuff, anything like that, you cannot worry about Ingram or any other running back. It's got to be your only concern is hitting Lamar Jackson. That can be your only concern. Hit him as hard as you can, as often as you can, and make him not want to run anymore. That's it's no different than if you're in a fight, if you're a boxing match, UFC. You got to try to take them. You got to try to take their mentality completely out of wanting to do something. You want to counterpunch them enough that they don't want to throw that lead right or whatever their if they got a big right hook, but they keep getting countered with a left, maybe they'll stop doing that. If you don't make Lamar Jackson stop running the ball, at any point he could go 70 on you. Any point.
Yep.
How many quarterbacks realistically could do that in the league? One. And Deshaun's got pretty good speed. Deshaun's not going 70. When's the last time you seen him do that?
No. Well, no. I mean, Lamar does that.
Lamar's the only
quarterback. But as far as elusiveness goes, I think Deshaun's right there with him.
But Deshaun, to me, is just more consistent.
Yeah.
In all aspects.
Yeah, I mean, he had his two games that he wasn't. Yeah, he had a couple, but it's been a while now.
We haven't talked about this. Jeff Kaplan was fired from the Texans yesterday.
Hmm.
The head trainer. I heard that last night when I was out and about at their big Sunday party they had at Riel. I had somebody tell me Jeff Kaplan got fired today. What? Is that public?
I haven't seen anything.
Yeah, that's what I heard last night, that the Cappy, Cappy, that stuff.
Right.
You know who Jeff Kaplan is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know him, but
if the trainer got fired, then that means, I wonder what that means about either Will Fuller or if there's something with Laremy Tunsil or any of these guys. Was there something that happened with a player like Bradley Roby or Lonnie Johnson that they're expecting back who maybe had a regression for some reason? I don't know, but if Billy's in charge, we know he's going to – I mean, he's in charge, and if he doesn't like it, got to go, I guess.
I guess. That's interesting. I had not heard that. What I have heard is that Will Fuller is a possibility to come back this week. And
Yeah,
I thought he was tight with Kaplan. Apparently not, huh?
I don't know. I'm just telling you. That's what I heard.
If you ain't on board, bro, you best watch yourself.
I'll see. I don't see it. You know what? I don't see it anywhere here in the news. So
if you ain't on board,
I heard that yesterday. We'll find out.
You better watch yourself, Tell, if you ain't on board with AJ. That's what's going to happen. Get your ass fired again.
Hey, he was
so
like
random.
What? Brian Gain, we are aligned. Gone.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I know. You feel like he's tight. Bill.
You feel like you're tight with AJ? No?
Tighter than with you, certainly.
Well, tighter than me?
Tighter with him than I am with you, certainly.
Oh. I'm just saying. I just don't want you to get fired again.
Yeah, but we just bring it up all the time.
I'm not bringing it up. I'm just saying.
Who brought it up? Who just brought this up out of the blue?
I'm just saying, Del. I don't want this to happen to you
but
it happened
to
Cappy.
To bring it up consistently for whatever reason.
Because Cappy. Okay?
Yeah. I'll make sure. I'll double check that. I don't see it anywhere in the news, but I think my source is a pretty good source that I got it from yesterday. It kind of came out of the blue. I'm not sure people with the Texans even, some of them. I think it may have happened yesterday. I don't know. But I heard it yesterday. If that's the truth, if that's real, then that makes me concerned about any information that we may be getting this week about a player.
Mm. So wow, that's interesting. 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Let's get Gilbert in here. He might have some insight on the Texans. What do you say, Gilbert?
Yeah, how you doing, gentlemen?
Good, Gilbert. What's going on?
I get real sad that my friend died.
Oh, no.
He worked for Tough Fit Enterprise, you know, Judy. I'm really sad this week, you know.
Oh, sorry to hear about that, Gilbert. I don't know. I don't know Judy.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, so I got something to ask you. Is did Morgan Ensberg play for the World Series this year in 1987, the Astros?
Morgan Ensberg?
Yeah.
No, he didn't play. He doesn't play anymore.
There were times that
felt
like
to him, anyway? What happened to him?
Well, he retired.
Well, yeah, but he was. Wasn't he managing one of their? I think he's managing somewhere.
Yeah, I think he is. I think
in the organization somewhere.
Yeah, he. Now I know I can understand the confusion because there felt like times that there were Morgan Ensberg World Series at bats happening for the Astros.
Where they change their stance every at bat.
It's completely understandable. Like, well, this has no chance of being a hit. So I understand how you would think that, Gilbert. But no, he is not. He is not.
Okay, Dan. Okay, one more day. You still gonna have a Christmas party next month?
Yeah, December 20th. Christmas party. It's Friday, December 20th. Gilbert, you going to be there?
What do you think?
Well, after the 23rd, anyway.
What happened to the 23rd? It's the 23rd is still going to go down.
They're
going to have a 23rd. But it's going to be the
20th.
Because that's a Friday, I guess. I don't know. I don't know that, Gilbert.
You know why. We had the whole text string.
Yeah, we had.
We had the whole email string.
Well,
Gilbert, we just, because it's a Friday.
Because it's
a
Friday.
We just want to do it on a Friday.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll do it on Friday, okay?
All right.
Can you get Chai Garden out there anyway? I love Chai Garden food anyway.
I know. I'll get Carol out there. Egg roll. You want some egg rolls out there?
Yeah, egg rolls.
What is this, an order?
Pete's Barbecue.
Okay.
And Longhorn Steakhouse. The barbecue.
Longhorn Steakhouse.
What is this happening?
Yeah, I love Longhorn Steakhouse now anyway.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, then we'll work on all of those
for
you.
Did you get that order, John?
I got it. What did you want from each of those places?
Yeah, hey, Lance, I got something to ask you anyway.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to Rod Franklin? You remember him on Channel 2 a long time ago?
Who?
And he's still alive, Rod Franklin.
Yeah, Ron Franklin's still alive. He retired. These are the questions I ask you. You typically know these answers.
I don't know. Why was on Channel 2... 50-year anniversary. I don't understand that, you know.
Well, maybe he's not friends with everybody still. I don't know.
Whoa. Why are you putting that on Ron? He's not a friendly guy.
Channel 2 was celebrating 7 years. He didn't see FC on TV anyway, you know.
Ron?
Gilbert, I don't know how to tell you this, but we're a Channel 13 family here at the station now.
Oh, yeah, 13. Anyway. Dan Lubbock, why that?
What? Okay. Thanks for the call, Gilbert. We've got his. He's placing.
Answer his question.
I don't know what he said, honestly.
Dan Levitt or something?
I don't know what that means. I don't know any of that. I'm not talking inside TV.
That's a long time ago.
I know it is. We're not talking TV from the 70s.
Question.
He died. Whoever that is.
No, you don't know that.
Who died?
Dan Levitt? I don't know. Who is that?
Look it up.
Probably died.
I'm looking up Ron Franklin. He's 77 years old, and he apparently... Well, he was born in Jackson, Mississippi. I don't know where he is now, though.
He's in Austin, last I heard.
He is?
Yeah.
So you have information about Ron Franklin, but not Dan Levitt?
Yeah. Why are you hating on Dan Levitt?
I don't know.
People call here.
No one wants to hear. Click. Every dial is changing.
I would disagree, to be honest.
All right, what about this person?
Whole
where did this person
love
go?
This stuff.
Because this is brand new. We haven't heard this for 20 years.
Destination Radio.
Everyone
yeah.
loves
I think.
It.
Click.
Ron Franklin.
Click. Okay.
I'm looking him up.
Here's the next seven that I want to ask you about.
Oh, so if I asked you about a guard from South Dakota, you have an answer. You don't have an answer about Dan Levitt?
By the way, that's not good radio either for Houston listeners. They don't care about
Dan Levitt. Let's find out where Dan.
Yeah, I got an answer for you. No one wants it.
Okay. Where's Dan Levitt? Was he a weather guy?
Look at, we're running.
Sportscaster.
We're literally past a break.
Okay, well, why don't you tell your...
You can deal with AJ for
this. While I'm looking up Dan Levitt,
you
can tell
about... I'm going to tell you about Texas Custom Patios. So the company that makes the best patios in the state of Texas, they have this is really last call for having your spring patio ready. And this really, if you've been sitting there like, yeah, I want to get a patio done. Yeah, I want to get a patio done. And you haven't even made the call. Then what are you doing? What are you doing? Call my friends over at Texas Custom Patios. I asked them to come on and advertise because I love their product so much. And I've had, I had contact with two different people getting patios built just this week. They're asking about TV sizes for the patio and AV questions about what I ended up doing. Let the experts at Texas Custom Patios handle all of that for you. They will, and they do an amazing job. And what you get is going to make your house a home because it is the best spot for outdoor entertaining and outdoor living that you are going to find anywhere in the state. Award-winning for four consecutive years, TexasCustomPatios.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
We
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, I found some information on Dan Lovett. It's not Lovett, it's Lovett. He looks like he put on a couple since his TV days. But, he apparently wrote memoirs. He wrote memoirs about partying with Dave Ward to building KTRK sports department and beyond. He was replaced by Bob Allen in the 70s. So there aren't a lot of our listeners right
what
now.
What did I tell you? This is a Gilbert, very Gilbert specific.
Yes.
This is narrow casting to one listener, Gilbert.
This is...
And then maybe if Dave Ward's listening, he would have like, son of a bitch.
Well, Mike McGuff wrote about it. And thanks to Joe Montalbano. Hey, Joey. Hey, Joey. Oh, is that Joey from Philly? No, he's an Astro. Anyway, Joe Montalbano, one of my peeps, he sent us the link to it. Congratulations. There you find Dan Lovett right here on ESPN 97.5. By the way, he also worked at 610 back in – he covered Vietnam for 610.
Criminy, Gilbert. What are you doing to us?
All right. 713-780-3776. Southwest Jay wants to talk about Joe Burrow, but who doesn't want to talk about Joe Burrow? What's up, Southwest Jay?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Granato, how about that Joe Burrow, huh?
How about Joe Burrow? Well,
he was good.
How about Joe Burrow? Huh?
I give you credit, though, man. You were on the Joe Burrow train before he was even any good, so... You're consistent.
You know, I was obviously a homer, but I saw a lot of flashes last year. I mean, he made some nice throws.
You didn't
and I was
think
like,
he was this good.
Yes.
Part of that was a
the
shtick.
The hell I didn't.
That was a shtick.
No, the hell I didn't. I told you guys that Joe Burrow was a good quarterback. I told you guys that. And I told you he'd be a Heisman finalist. And what did you two say? Not
shtick.
A shtick. Not a shtick. Now,
he didn't buy
now
it
who
last
knew
year.
That this offense was going to be like this?
Nobody.
No.
You could think it would be updated. But
no, but
Joe
I
Burrow,
thought Joe Burrow was a good quarterback.
I watched every throw he had last year, and he was smart. You could see him like that touchdown he had to Chase. He looks mm-hmm. the safety off beautifully. Like, he's a smart quarterback. You could see that on tape. But he was not – I mean, this was not some kind of – top three-round quarterback, not even top four-round quarterback on tape. But he's found an offense that fits really well. So you have to project him into this kind of offense. You can't say, well, how would Joe Burrow look in this? It doesn't matter. Who cares? If this is what he's good at, a team who runs this will probably be the team that looks to draft him.
Yeah. I mean,
and not to mention, he got better. Like, actually, he didn't play hardly at all at Ohio State. There's also such a thing as getting better as a player.
That's true. And you have to be able to project. And how would he look in the Saints offense, yesterday notwithstanding?
Oh, my God. Better than Drew Brees?
Yes. He would have looked – yesterday he would have looked better than Drew Brees did.
Yeah.
What else, Southwest Jay?
Hey, Lance, came up huge this weekend. Hatchet Man had LSU as his lock man.
See?
100%.
Hatchet Man is just – all he does is pick winners and buy expensive dinners. That's all he does.
Yeah. I didn't hear Hatchet Man pick him.
I didn't either.
Pick the Tigers.
I didn't either, but Jay must be in the Inner Circle Platinum Club.
I know. He's got to love his G-men this week. He probably teased them to plus 40, and he won, I would imagine.
The battle of the Jets, John. Thanks for the call, Jay. The battle of New York.
It was actually a pretty good game.
It was fine. Who wanted to watch that?
No, it was actually a pretty good game.
I wouldn't have spent one single
second. I did. I was
watching Kansas City show why they're one of the preeminent teams in the AFC. What an amazing performance, boys. So, that was awfully impressive.
Let me ask you something.
What if you had them all tied up in parlays? Ooh, and
that would not have made you very happy
yesterday.
Let me
ask you something while you're slandering Kansas City.
I'm not slandering. I'm just
sounds
telling
like
you.
It.
Sarcasm. Am I slandering or did this happen yesterday?
Sarcasm. Would you want to see
him? Oh, it's a field goal.
Would you want to see him? Would you want to see him in the first round?
Yeah, absolutely.
You really? Really?
Yeah, just beat the piss out of them because they're too stupid.
Mm.
And their defense stinks. How about that? How about stop somebody? Up and down the field goes Ryan Tannehill?
He went up the field once.
It was more Derrick Henry going
up.
Yeah,
he went up the field once.
If I'm being honest, it was Derrick. It was the tank known as Derrick Henry.
Got beat by Derrick yesterday. Derrick Henry destroyed my team.
Dalvin Cook. So, Dell, let me tell you about my fantasy team.
I don't care.
No Dalvin Cook.
It's on the level of Gilbert stuff.
Really, really.
Really good.
Gary Kubiak with Dalvin Cook has been a godsend. And you know who I really liked? I heard him say this on a broadcast that so did Kubiak. B.C. Johnson. Yeah. They said B.C. Johnson, old B.C. Johnson, they drafted him in the seventh round. I thought he was like a fourth-round talent from Colorado State. Really good route runner. Like, he looked like a Kubiak type of in my mind, I look at guys. Alvis Whitted was his coach at that time at, former Jacksonville Jaguar, was his wide receiver coach. And I remember talking to him. And he couldn't stop talking about his work ethic, his character, just everything about him. He's a great route runner. Now in Minnesota, one of the reasons that they've had this big jump up is because they've got a third receiver now to go with Stephon Diggs. So they got just. I still think when it comes time to win a big game and make big plays, Kirk Cousins will probably make TT. But when you have Adam Thielen, who wasn't there yesterday, he was out. But you have Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen. Rudolph, who had two touchdown catches yesterday, B.C. Johnson and Dalvin Cook with Alexander Mattison, the backup running back who's got some size, and Cousin is playing actually just quietly playing really good football
right now. Good.
The Vikings, we maybe need to start mentioning the Minnesota Vikings in the NFC talk. They maybe need to. The Rams have not looked like the team at all this year since, and there's the Steelers winning five in a row. What in the hell's going on? Oh, is it four in a row? What in the hell's going on in Pittsburgh?
Mason Rudolph
or Jerry Masterholden or whatever their backup name
was.
How
about how piss poor Jared Goff looked yesterday, though?
Jared Goff looked terrible.
He looked terrible.
Jared Goff looked terrible.
They had a week off, and he came back just terrible.
Someone pointed out that the Rams, I got to find the tweet, the Rams had remarkable luck with their offensive line, like 2 years straight, everybody started. It's not the case this year. They're starting like an undrafted guy and a fourth-round guy.
It's amazing what happens when there's not continuity on your offensive line.
But Jared Goff still is. Even when he has time, he looks terrible.
True.
He really looks terrible.
But maybe he's seeing ghost because of the pressure.
Whoa, he's seeing ghost.
Hey, that's not fair to
that's
say
Sam Darnold. Why you got to put ghosts on him?
I thought we put ghosts on everybody now.
Yeah, but that's ugly when you say that. That's like you're not supposed to say the G word.
Speaking of trolling, when Minnesota beat Penn State at the end, they were playing songs from The Lion King because they were playing the Nittany Lions. Not as strong as Ghost, but.
What about LSU players going up to Alabama recruits after the game
phenomenal.
And telling them you need to come
that
here?
That was phenomenal. They ran into the end zone where the recruits are. And we're telling them to go to LSU.
Yeah.
That was like, this is brilliant. This is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. That was we'll see what kind of loss that was. Alabama's probably still in the playoff right now, but we'll see what happens by the end of the season. All right, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. Top of the hour, let's talk about absolute marble and granite and Jeff Aronoff and I got to watch my words because I talk about everything is rock hard. That's when you need Jeff Aronoff, right? Well, any kind of countertop, any kind of outdoor patio. Somebody told me the other day, Jeff Aronoff. Oh, they called in. They called in and said, hey, John, I just want to tell you, Jeff Aronoff put in our outdoor kitchen. And it was just spectacular. And I've said the same thing about him, is he put in our outdoor kitchen, and it was fantastic, and it helped us sell the house. It added value to our home. And you need to add value to your home as well. All you got to do is call Jeff Aronoff in Absolute Marble and Granite and let him come to your home. He will. You see, it's one-stop shopping, too, because you don't need an architect. You don't need somebody to plan it all out, because Jeff can visualize it as well. He can see everything that he's going to do, so you don't need someone to actually design it and then Jeff build it. He does it all. And he can help you pick out all of the stone and marble and tile and everything else that you need, because he does this every single day. Give him a call. Let him start the process. 20% off for a 975 listener. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822.
ESPN 97.5.